Welcome back to the Audio Academy podcast. I'm your host, Georgie Jameson, and this week we launch our AIR Audio Academy 30 Under 30 scheme for 2026, which is our annual list of the ones to watch. 30 people under the age of 30 who we think will lead our industry into a bright and bold future. I thought I'd catch up with a couple of previous 30 Under 30 alumni who have gone on to do great things with their careers. Soon we'll meet freelance podcast producer Leanne Alley, but first I chatted with Darby Doris from the class of 2019. Back then, he was editor and executive producer at Something Else, and now he's chief content officer at Platform Media. I asked Darby what initially being chosen as a 30 under 30 did for his career.
I can't believe it was 2019, to be honest. It already felt like, yeah, time flies. I think, you know, with these sorts of lists, I think they're always really useful. I think it's a challenge, right? Because any awards thing, any industry kind of gathering like this of a list is always hard, because if you're not in that list, which I wasn't for years, because I applied before and didn't make the list, and you kind of always then, inevitably people have that thing of being feeling left out, of course. But they are great things, I think, because then if you do manage to get to be a part of it, then you can just use it as a calling card. It was a really, at that time when I was sort of slightly different point in my career, younger and sort of trying to kind of rise up the ranks, all of that stuff, it's a really good thing to have as a calling card that people just, you know, even if people aren't familiar with this specific 30 under 30 for the, you know, for Audio Academy, it's sort of like they recognize that as a mechanic. And so then it's very easy for them to kind of look at it or then click through and then go, okay, cool. This is like prestigious list of that's gathered every year and all of that. So yeah, it's a really good, I would say, calling card more than anything else, an ability to kind of open doors or those things which are like always the way, right? CV boosters, they're things that when you win an award or you're nominated for an award or all of those things, it does help. If you're sending in an application or something or trying to open a door, it helps you stand out. And we at Platform put people in for it, you know, I'm sure we will this time as well. For that very reason, it's like often there's some really brilliant young people in the business who it gives them something to use as a tool in their own career progression.
How many times did you apply before you got in?
Every year since I was 15. No, I honestly can't remember. Probably like we were pretty good those days. Like when, you know, in that business, we were all, there was a lot of like clever young people, I would say, who were all applying for it. My colleagues. I honestly can't remember. Probably two or three, I think. So was that the fourth? That would have been like the third or fourth.
Okay. Attempt, yeah. So you must have felt very proud when you got it then.
Yeah, definitely. I was definitely delighted. It's like, finally, they recognise me. They see my brilliance now that they missed all those years before. No, I was delighted.
What impact would you say that being a 30 under 30 has had on your career progression since being chosen, since 2019?
Definitely a sort of moment in time that you should, I think my recommendation to people on that is to kind of capitalize on it fast, because within a year, you're superseded by the next 30 and 30 the next, you know.
Like yeah.
More people joining the club, as it were.
You're only news for a year, aren't you, really?
Yeah, exactly. You're the current 30 and 30 in last 12 months. So leverage it, you know, use it at that point. I think actually what I definitely did with it at the time was use it to I imagine it had an impact on me winning other awards. And one of the first things I would say in that kind of like punchy opening statement that you want on those things is like, you know, win at current 30 under 30, you know, I would use that as a way of hopefully making a judge on something go, oh, okay, they've got something here. Let me keep reading, you know.
It kind of makes people sit up and take notice.
Yeah, definitely. It's a calling card, isn't it? It opens the door a bit, makes people kind of go, okay, you know, as with any awards entry for anything, you're writing something punchy to try and someone who's reading hundreds or tens of those sit up a bit and go, oh, this person's worth reading.
You are a 30 under 30 and you put your team in for it now. And I think that's lovely. So you still hold it in that high esteem.
Yeah, I think that it always has been, as far as I've known it, but like the industry is incredibly tough. Like it's competitive, it's hard to cut through, to kind of, yeah, be recognized. I think I see it as a brilliant thing for that in the industry, of being able to kind of just try and support and encourage those people who are up and coming and have done brilliant things. It's often good for sometimes the people who are in the roles that are around the core role, right? So if you're the, I don't know, the executive producer, whatever, of a thing that's very successful and is doing well, you're probably celebrated really, really well. But you might have a whole team of people that are really the enablers for you, just as we have in our business, people working in all sorts of, you know, roles that are, you know, focused on growing a YouTube channel or in marketing and PR and, you know, all these things, which any one of our things that we create and launch, there are so many hands that go into that. And often, like, we work really hard to try and recognize those people and shout about them to make sure people understand that it's not a single person usually creating a thing. And so I think it's really good for that, in that there'll always be a mix in that list, but you find people that are celebrated in there who are doing amazing things in the industry, but might not necessarily have been shouted about enough yet, or people haven't recognized yet. So I think it does a great job for that. And I'm definitely supportive of our relevant kind of team entering it. And for that reason, really.
I think that's a really important point, Darby, because I think a lot of people think, oh, well, it's presenters and producers, but we've had people who are engineers and who do the social media, who do the marketing. And these are all jobs in audio and radio, aren't they? They're all jobs in the industry that make everything tick and everything go. And those people shouldn't be forgotten. It's not just the people in front of the mic all the time. It's about the whole team and celebrating all those different roles. Tell me a bit about how your career has progressed since then. We mentioned you were at something else for a long time, but then come August 2022, you moved to Listen and you were director of content. And now you're chief content officer. Look, I've got a thing about job titles. I think job titles are hilarious. I feel like I've got to salute you because you're chief content officer.
Darling, you should see me in full gear, standing there with like on parade or something. Yeah,
it does seem very grand. It's a very grand title.
Yeah, I think it's kind of representation of what we get. I mean, the business we have now is about 100 people, and so all those titles are probably representative of that. And so, you know, the kind of evolution of career, but also evolution in size of business and the relevance of those different roles. I was at something else for I think probably nearly 11 years, and had really kind of risen up the ranks there. And then they were acquired by Sony, and I was there for probably something like another year after that as well. And then, I just found the right thing at the right time, was talking to Josh, who's now CEO of Platform, who at the time was running Listen. And two of us really hit it off, and kind of then I joined Listen, and we kind of built an amazing team of people there, to be honest, like a bunch of 20 odd people who were just, you know, really impressive, some of which have also won 30 under 30, like impressive people who, you know, really understood what we were trying to do. And that business, we scaled it and launched some really big titles, stuff like The Traitors Uncloaked, with, you know, there were others and big titles at the time that became industry rockers, moments that we could get behind. And then we sold that business to PodX, acquired Listen. And then just over a year ago, we merged the UK businesses of PodX, so Platform Media, Listen and Goldhawk, into one entity, which is now Platform Media as the kind of top co. The funny thing of the creative industries, right, is you start out, or I did, and I think a lot of people do, you start out on that thing of, I'm going to be creative and I'm going to make stuff and I'm going to do that, you know, and you do that. But then obviously the more senior you get, the less you do that.
Less you're actually on the ground making the stuff, yeah.
You become an exec producer, and then you've got to run a budget and think about the strategic thought behind this thing and the bigger picture and liaise with clients in a different way. And so really my job now is more of it's more strategy, new business, the bigger picture, opening doors, and just an enabler, frankly. Like, I've got an incredible team of 40, about 46, 47 now, creative people, basically, exec producers, heads of different departments and comedy and sport and factual and scripted and brilliant production managers and coordinator, you know, all of these great roles and different people that are actually making all the cool stuff that we do, to be honest with you. And that's just my division, you know, my chunk of the business. And the rest of the business is people working in media, people working in commercial and in marketing and PR and finance and HR. And, you know, it's a huge machine now.
All the roles that I think people don't necessarily think of.
Yeah.
And they think about the radio audio industry. They're all pivotal, aren't they?
They are, they really are. And I think that's why, you know, in our business, all of those different departments and roles are absolutely key to anything we're doing. You know, finance is a really good example. We try and call those guys out as much as we possibly can, because ultimately they're in everything from making sure our team get paid to you know, looking after the budgets for show, all sorts of things. But then when something wins an award, it's not normally the, you know, the...
They don't get the plaudits.
Who picks up the... Exactly. It'll be the, you know, creative person who's driving it. My role's just kind of got, you know, progressed as I've moved about and evolved and made different kind of relationships. It's evolved with trajectory of that and into the business we have now.
I had a look at the Platform Media's website. The podcasts that you make, I was thinking, oh, that one, that, oh, that one, that, oh, I love that one. Oh, I follow that one. Oh, I would listen to that. I mean, just so many big names wanging on. Traitors Uncloaked, you mentioned. The Rivals official podcast, huge at the moment. Hanging Out with Ant and Dec, Joe Marler, who I door, titting about with French and Saunders, which is, you know, and from Ashranganathan, just the name. I just wrote a list here, but I mean, I could go on and on. Massive, massive podcasts.
Yeah, I think it's that sort of, it's that thing which, you know, I think 30 under 30 can help give you, right? Which is that everyone has their imposter syndrome and, you know, you need that confidence to kind of, to go out and to put yourself out there, basically, to push. And I think that I've always definitely tried to find people in our teams to apply for 30 under 30 who might not put themselves forward, but they should be because they're brilliant kind of thing. You know, you kind of go, why don't you do this? Or we'll help you do this. Or, you know what, this exec is going to give you a hand, making sure you kind of really hone a brilliant write-up or whatever it might be. So probably was one of the things that people need, which is to sort of like encourage them to put themselves out there, really. And that is kind of at the heart of a lot of like the wins that we've had, which connects to the talent and the shows that you're talking about, which are now, it's easier because you've got a huge slate of very big things, right?
Yeah. So,
the more you have that, the easier it gets, right?
Talent attracts talent, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah, you see the names and you want to go and work with you. Yeah.
Well, that's it. It's that thing of like, to your point, if you've seen those shows out there and you're like, oh, you guys are behind that thing that I love, even if you only love one of those, you know, it's all relevant. And for having the confidence to just go, why aren't we working with this person? Why aren't we in the room with that? Let's make things happen. I certainly did anyway, early on in my career, you have to figure out that like, oh no, I'm probably good enough to do that. Oh, I might be good enough to do this. I'm going to, you know, just push yourself. Being uncomfortable is good. Ultimately, you're kind of like, oh, I can learn something here. Now is people, a lot of people in the business who are like that, I think, which is like, they're all very complimentary. Lots of people from different walks of life and skill sets and stuff. So some of the people will come from like traditional audio and radio backgrounds over the years, but actually loads of the team don't at all. And they're coming at it from a very like a creator perspective or as a YouTube expert or someone who's worked in marketing and PR and then pivoted into podcasts or, you know, all of these things are relevant and they make for the really fun creative environments because everyone feels like they're learning every day because you sat next to someone who does something wildly different to what you do and then you learn from them, you know? So it's good. All of that stuff is about just pushing yourself outside the box, isn't it? Which is good.
Finally, Darby, and thank you. It's been lovely talking to you. What would you say to anyone thinking of applying or nominating someone for this year's 30 Under 30?
Definitely do it, I think. I think the nomination thing as well being key, right? Which is that, especially those who are running businesses, you will have people in your team who you can encourage to put forward. And I think it's really good to do that. But also hopefully anyone listening to this who's sort of thinking like, oh, should I apply or not? I don't know if I get it, all of that stuff. Just give it a go. There's no harm. You don't publish the 30 under 30 and simultaneously the list of, you know, 2,000 or whatever it might be or more that you know, have applied and not got it. You know, it's like, there's no harm in doing it and putting yourself forward and probably you'll learn something. And just actually by applying for different sorts of nominations and awards and things, I think the more of that you do, the better you get at it anyway. Even if you put it in, you don't win this year, you might win next year, you know, all that stuff.
Well, you're testament to that, aren't you? I mean, you tried, like you say, three or four times.
When you get that no and rejection, just keep going back again. Like, you know, I definitely believe in that, for ideas as well, like creative ideas. If you really believe in something, you put it forward, you can't get it away the first four times. Try again on the fifth. That's part of it. And it's the same here. It's like, it's a competitive industry, but you learn stuff. So give it a go, really.
Next, I spoke to Leanne Ali, who was a 30 under 30 back in 2020. At the time, she'd just moved from Global to the BBC as a development and commissioning producer. And now she's a freelance podcast producer. I asked Leanne how the 30 under 30 scheme helped her progress in the audio industry.
I would say that being part of 30 under 30 connected me to like a really great network of not only the 30 under 30 cohort that I was with, but all the alumni and all the people that come after it as well. And it's really great to kind of see everyone who has come through the program and has gone on to be really successful in their careers in the audio industry. So I think being part of that network has been really great.
And how did it feel having it on your CV, especially as you were changing from Global to BBC at the time?
Yeah, I mean, I was really proud to put it on my CV. And I remember my manager at the time endorsed me and she was really encouraging of the whole process, which is really, really great. I did really get recognised within the BBC. It's something that's really recognised within kind of like some of the senior stakeholders and it kind of just puts you on the map. It's good to be able to call to something like that really makes you stand out and show that you're really good at what you do.
Yeah, it's a kind of badge of honour, isn't it? You're a one to watch. Let's move on to what you're working on now. I like to talk about where your career has gone. You developed the very first BBC Sounds Audio Lab. Tell us a bit about that.
When I first started working at the BBC, I was like inundated with all these pitches and ideas. And it was very clear that like people wanted to pitch, they just didn't know how. And the barrier to do that seemed quite high, which it shouldn't have been, because it's the BBC, it's a public service organisation. Like, people should be able to pitch in with ideas. But you can only do that if you're a registered production company. And if you're a creative and an individual, that can be quite difficult to navigate if you're not already in the industry. Along with a group of some of my colleagues, we came up with the idea of BBC Sounds Audio Lab, which was all about commissioning, developing and producing podcast ideas from creators from underrepresented groups. And I'm really proud of that first year of content, because we made shows like that I know would have never been commissioned anywhere else. I know it wouldn't have been commissioned anywhere else, because one of the shows that we commissioned, which was called Who Was Michael X, Hamza, who was the producer of that, had pitched this show everywhere, including Radio 4, and it didn't get picked up. But then when it came to us, it was like one of the best pitches I saw. There's been some really great success stories from it, actually. So Tommy Dixon, he was actually working as a train engineer, but he loved podcasts. He loved being creative. So he kind of took a risk, came onto Audiolab, did the program, and now he works at the BBC full time. I also want to shout out to Adam Smith, who was also one of my first year creators on Audiolab. He did the show The Film We Can't See. Since then, he started his own production company called Art Now with his colleague Tash Walker, which I'm an advisor for, and they create content that kind of tells the stories of queer life. So there's been some really brilliant success stories that have come out of Audiolab.
As a freelancer, what are you working on now?
It's so interesting kind of how this industry moves and shakes, because I thought my dream job was running my own production company, which I did do for a time. I did that within an agency, but it was extremely challenging because the scope of the industry has changed so much. It's really difficult now to launch podcasts from scratch, build audiences. It's not impossible, but it takes a lot of time. I think a lot of organizations don't realize the time, money, and resources it actually takes to do these things properly. So for that reason, that opportunity didn't work out, but I'm now independent. So I'm working on a female-led show for BBC Studios, which I'm really excited about, which is coming out late this summer. I've worked on an independent documentary about the history of Black British TV, interviewed some of like my favourite people on TV. I'm also just experimenting with formats. I've been writing a lot. I've been writing a microdrama. Being self-employed has really given me the time and space to be creative in a way that I haven't been able to before. And I've been really enjoying that.
Can be hard being freelance, can't it? And constantly thinking, where's the next job coming from? But it is also freeing as well, isn't it?
It's very freeing. My advice for anyone thinking about 30 under 30 or just generally freelancers in general is that you have to be a peacock, quote unquote. You have to be constantly telling people what you do, what you're about, and the work that you're doing, because that's how people know that you're available and what your skill set is. Because if I think of all the work that I've done this last 9 months, all the work I've been doing has been inbound. I haven't done like one outbound request. I've been pitching for stuff and like applying for stuff. But all the work that's come to fruition has been inbound, because people know me, they know my work. You have to constantly promote yourself. And I know it's hard, but like that's what you have to do. And the best way to do that is online, because you never know who's watching. You never know how far you may be reaching.
Finally, what would you say to anyone thinking of applying or nominating someone for this year's 30 Under 30?
I would say absolutely put yourself forward. Absolutely recommend someone. Promoting yourself and being visible is really one of the things that you just have to do these days if you're a creative. And so I think 30 Under 30 is a really great platform for that. I would definitely apply. You'll be connected to a really great network. You'll be connected to some really great people. And that could also lead to further connections, further opportunities. So I definitely recommend it.
A big thank you to Darby Doris and Leanne Alley. The AIR Audio Academy 30 Under 30 for 2026 has opened today, 1st of July. And you can apply yourself or nominate a team member on our website, audioacademy.org.uk/30under30. Good luck. If you're going to tonight's Birmingham Social, have a great time. There's still time to buy a ticket and check out our other upcoming events like Crossed Wires Festival on the 3rd of July and our Summer Social on the 16th of July. Go to audioacademy.org.uk/events for all the details and to book tickets. Next week, the podcast comes from the Crossed Wires Podcast Festival in Sheffield with a flavour of the festival and our Audio Academy session with composer and producer Adam Batty about the phenomenon of the podcast and story of MF Doom. I'll see you next week.